If we open to Romans 8.
Juste là, puis on va plus lourd. Ça veut juste un peu.
To verse 33. What I want to get across to you now is the scriptural truth that once a Christian has been justified by faith, he or she can never be brought back into a position of condemnation before God again.
Kan hun eller ham ikke bringes tilbage i en tilstand, hvor personen er under fordømmelse af Gud?
Yeah, once a person has been justified by faith in the gospel,
når først en person er blevet retfærdiggjort via evangeliet,
he or she can never be brought back into a position of condemnation before God again.
Kan hun eller ham aldrig blive bragt tilbage under fordømmelse af Gud?
Okay, if we read Romans, it's verse 33 we're really going to look at, but perhaps if you could read 33 and 34.
Okay, det er primært vers 33, vi vil kigge på, men nu vil jeg læse både vers 33 og 34 af kapitel 8 i Romerbrevet. Så vi starter ved vers 33. Yeah. Hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte? Gud gør retfærdig. Hvem vil dømme? Kristus Jesus er død. Ja, endnu mere. Han er opstået og sidder ved Guds højre hånd og går i forbøn for os.
Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We pray. Our Father, I just pray you would give us great comfort and encouragement to see these glorious, marvelous truths in your word now. I pray you would awaken, give life, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the context of Romans chapter 8.
Konteksten er Romerbrevet kapitel 8.
Is throughout this chapter the Apostle Paul gives argument after argument.
Igennem hele kapitlet at Paulus giver argument efter argument.
Trying to convince the believers in Christ Jesus.
Han prøver at overbevise den troende i Kristus Jesus.
That nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
At intet kan separere os fra Guds kærlighed, som er i Kristus Jesus.
Yeah. The point of Romans 8.
Hele formålet med kapitel 8.
Is that Paul wants those who are saved by faith in the gospel.
Er at dem som er frelste via evangeliet, via troen også.
He wants us to be fully assured.
At de skal have fuld forsikring.
That we are not only saved by faith and have peace with God now,
at vi ikke kun er frelst via troen og har fred med Gud nu,
not just in this time in the present,
ikke kun her i nutiden, ikke kun i det her liv,
but God has guaranteed it that we will make it to final glory.
Men selv til livets ende vil han også sørge for at vi når frem til.
And so continuing with this theme in verse 33 our text,
så vi er ved at fortsætte det her tema i vers 33.
Paul says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?"
Så siger Paulus, hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte?
Who shall bring a charge or an accusation against God's elect?
Hvem skal bringe en anklage imod Guds udvalgte?
Now, the first thing I want you to note here, believers,
det første jeg ønsker I skal notere jer,
is that Paul describes the Christian as God's elect.
Ja, Paulus beskriver den troende som Guds udvalgte.
The Christian is not someone who elected themselves to believe.
Den kristne er ikke en som udvalgte sig selv til at tro.
But God elected us to believe.
Men Gud udvalgte os til at tro.
But you see, Paul has argued in the previous verses.
Paulus har argumenteret i tidligere vers.
That the reason we came to saving faith in Jesus Christ in the first place.
Han argumenterer at grunden til at vi kom til Kristus Jesus til at starte med,
is because God chose this would happen.
Er fordi Gud har udvalgt at det skulle ske.
In verses 28 to 30 here we see that God predestined.
I vers 28 til 30 ser vi at Gud forbestemte.
He predestined, that is, he destined the outcome beforehand.
Han forbestemte det endelige mål til at starte med.
That we would believe.
At vi ville tro.
But not only did God predestine that we would come to saving faith at a point in time in the gospel.
Men Gud forbestemte ikke alene at vi skulle komme til at tro på et tidspunkt i den her livs.
But we're also told there that God predestined that we would make it to final glory.
Men forudbestemte også, at vi skulle nå til herlighedsmålet.
And of course, he's working all things in our life for good, that is to get us to this outcome.
Han virker altid det gode, for at vi kan nå det mål.
But my point here is, do you see yourself, believers, as the elect of God?
Mit spørgsmål er, ser du den kristne dig selv som Guds udvalgte?
Let me ask you in a practical sense, in sanctification.
Lad mig spørge jer via et praktisk spørgsmål i forhold til helliggørelse.
In pursuing holiness in your daily fight against sin.
Det at søge herlighed eller helliggørelse i dit daglige liv.
Do you rightly see yourself in this privileged position of one of God's elect?
Ser du dig selv i det her privilegie at være Guds udvalgt?
One of the people whom God has chosen to set his love upon.
Ser du dig som det folk Gud har sat sin kærlighed på?
And bring you into this position of grace.
Og bringe dig ind i den her position af nåde.
You see, there is so much teaching on sanctification today that has this the wrong way round.
Der er så meget lære omkring helliggørelse, som vender det hele på hovedet, eller kommer fra en forkert vinkel.
In their thinking, they are back to front. Back to front, upside down.
De starter de går den forkerte vej. Yeah. De starter på det forkerte.
Yeah, you see, there is so much, so many people think of sanctification.
Mange folk tænker om helliggørelse.
And growth in the Christian life.
Og det at vokse i det kristne liv.
They think of this in these terms that there is this huge gap between me and God.
De tænker om det i forhold til at der er det her store spring mellem mig og Gud.
Which they have the bridge.
Og de er nødt til, de har broen, de er nødt til at springe over.
And they think it's as if God's against me and I am failing if I don't.
Og det er som om Gud han er imod mig, og hvis jeg fejler.
But that type of thinking is upside down.
Men det er en forkert måde at tænke på, det er op og ned.
You see, the scriptural position, the way to think of yourself as a Christian,
den skriftlige position, den måde du bør tænke dig omkring dig selv som kristen,
is that you are one of God's elect.
At du er en af Guds udvalgte.
That you are one of his most privileged and chosen people.
At du er en af hans mest privilegerede og udvalgte folk.
Whom God, for no reason in you, has set his love upon you.
Han har uden nogen grund, kan man sige, sat sin kærlighed på dig, uden du fortjener det.
Yeah, there was nothing in us that caught that we deserve this, but God chose to set his love upon us.
Det er også det, gjorde os fortjente til det, men Gud valgte at sætte sin kærlighed på os.
You should think of yourself as a person whom God has purchased with his own blood.
Du skal tænke om dig selv værende en som Gud har købt via hans egen søns blod. Ja.
To make you one of his people for his own possession.
For at gøre dig til hans folk, hans egen ejendomsfolk.
Was talking about this morning.
Vi snakker om det her den her morgen. Ja.
Have you noticed in the New Testament, Paul never writes to the dirty little sinners in Corinth?
Har du lagt mærke til, at Paulus skriver ikke i hans brev til dem i Korinth, dine forfærdelige mislykkede synder?
Or the dirty sinners in Ephesus?
Eller i Athen?
But he writes to the saints.
Ephesus.
He writes to the saints.
Han skriver til de hellige.
You know, that's how we're spoken of.
Det var sådan. De tiltalte hinanden.
Yeah, we were sinners.
Vi var syndere.
Yeah, but the term sinner in the Bible is in contrast to a saint.
Men ordet synder i Bibelen er i kontrast til det at være en hellig.
It means an unregenerate one, a slave of sin.
Det er at være ikke født på ny, at være en slave.
Yeah, a Christian still sins, of course.
En kristen synder stadigvæk.
But we're no longer a slave of sin.
Men vi er ikke stadigvæk slaver af synd.
Yeah, and you see, in trying to grow in your Christian life,
det er at prøve at vokse i det kristne liv.
It's not as if, you know, people think I'm fighting this losing battle against God.
Det er ikke sådan, at man bør tænke om sig selv, man kæmper den her allerede tabte kamp imod Gud.
Notice what I said, that against God, as if God is against us.
Husk på, hvad jeg sagde før, ligesom man er imod Gud. Det er ikke sådan der.
But God is on your side, Christian.
Gud er på din side.
Yeah. And he guarantees, you know, to bring us to glory, to give us everything needed.
Han garanterer, at vi når frem til målet, at vi når herlighed.
Yeah. I mean, what does it say right before this, that God is for us?
Hvad siger det ikke i verset før, at Gud han er for os?
That's what we are to conclude from these truths.
Det er det, vi skal konkludere fra de her sandheder.
I mean, if We have a queen in our country in England.
For example, we have a dronning in England.
There's a lot of terrorism in the Middle East at the moment.
Der er meget terror her i terror.
Imagine if I went there and I was kidnapped by the terrorists.
Forestil dig, jeg blev kidnappet af terroristerne.
But then the queen heard about this.
Og så hørte dronningen om.
And she made a deal with the terrorists.
Og så lavede hun en aftale med terroristerne.
She exchanged a son, Prince Charles, or a grandson, William, there, so I could go free.
Hun tog en af sine egne sønner og forvekslede.
Imagine me
coming. De byttede plads.
Imagine me coming away saying the queen is against me.
Forestil dig, at jeg så blev løsladt, og så sagde jeg til dronningen, eller til andre, dronningen er imod mig.
Well, how much more, brethren? God has given us his only son.
Hvad med Gud selv? Han har givet os sin egen søn.
You know, he'll give us freely all things, everything needed for our sanctification there.
Han vil give os alt, hvad vi har brug for vores helliggørelse.
You know, he's on our side.
Han er på vores side.
So, the first thing I want you to get is, you know, to think of yourself in these terms of one of God's elect.
Så det, jeg ønsker, skal sive ind for dig, Tone, er, at du er en af Guds udvalgte.
And he'll give you everything needed to bring you to glory.
Han vil give dig alt, hvad du har brug for at nå herlighed.
Now then, in making this argument here for the believer's assurance,
I det han laver det her argument med den troendes sikkerhed og garanti,
Paul has here a rhetorical question.
Så stiller han et retorisk spørgsmål.
You all know what a rhetorical question is.
I ved alle sammen, hvad et retorisk spørgsmål er.
Yeah, a question that doesn't need an answer.
Et spørgsmål, som ikke har brug for et svar.
But you're making a point in the statement you make.
Men man slår noget fast med det retoriske spørgsmål.
Yeah, oh, if my wife says to my little children,
hvis min kone siger til mine små børn,
are you going to tidy your room?
Rydder du op på dit værelse?
Or when are you going to tidy your room?
Eller hvornår rydder du op på dit værelse?
Well, she's not asking them for a time.
Hun spørger dem ikke på om et tidspunkt.
Yeah, or she's saying, do you think that room's tidy?
Eller hun spørger, synes du det rum er ryddet op?
Well, she's not asking them for their opinion on it.
Hun spørger ikke for deres holdning.
She's making the point that it is untidy, now go and tidy it up.
Hun laver en pointe, at det faktisk ikke er ryddet op, og det bør ryddes op.
And so Paul, he asked this rhetorical question here.
Så Paulus stiller det her retoriske spørgsmål.
Yeah, who shall bring a charge or an accusation against God's elect?
Hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte?
Yeah, obviously his point is that no one.
Det er åbenlyst her, at ingen vil anklage Guds udvalgte.
Now, the language here in who shall bring a charge.
Sproget, der bliver brugt her i hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte.
This is language of a legal basis.
Det er sproget omkring legal basis.
Like a court of law.
Ligesom i en retssal.
Judicial. Like these terms here, charge, justify and condemn.
Altså de her ord, at anklage, fordømme og retfærdiggøre.
They're all ones used in a court of law, in the Bible and even now.
De alle sammen brugt de her udtryk i en ret, i en sag, en retssag for eksempel.
And so in the courtroom of God,
så i Guds retssal,
the final judgment, if you like, is what we have in view here.
Hvis du vil, så er det den endelige dom.
Yeah. Remember, a Christian can be condemned and guilty of many charges on earth.
En kristen kan være skyldig i mange overtrædelser på denne jord.
Yeah, where I live, we see in the news Christians being took before the court, the Christian bakeries for not making cakes for homosexual weddings.
For eksempel i England ser vi, at kristne bliver beskyldt for alt muligt. For eksempel en bager ikke vil lave en kage til et homoseksuelt bryllup.
Yeah, but what Paul is dealing with here,
men det Paulus han har at gøre med her,
is something much more serious than an earthly law.
Er faktisk meget mere seriøst end bare en jordisk lov.
He's dealing with charges of breaking God's laws.
Han beskæftiger sig med det at bryde Guds lov.
Yeah, I mean breaking the laws of men.
Det at bryde menneskers lov.
That is serious, but it will affect people in this life only.
Det er seriøst, men det vil kun påvirke dig i det her liv.
Breaking the laws of God is even more serious because it affects for all eternity.
Det er meget mere seriøst at bryde Guds lov, fordi det vil påvirke en for alt.
You know, at home we have one of those calendars where you rip off a page for each day.
Hjemme hvor jeg bor, der har de en kalender, hvor de river en side af for hver dag.
It has the date, the scripture verse, and a really nice painting.
Der er datoen, et dejligt lille billede, og så et skriftet.
But there's like the top part of it where you rip them off, you can still see where it's been.
Men heroppe i toppen af papiret kan du stadigvæk se, hvor den har været, og hvor den er.
And I noticed the other day, wow, a third of the year gone already.
Og her den anden dag, da jeg mærkede, wow, en tredjedel af året er allerede gået.
You know, how fast this short life goes.
Altså, han kan man blive mindre om, hvor hurtigt det her liv egentlig går.
But think how long eternity is.
Men prøv at tænke på, hvor langt evigheden ikke er.
You know, this is much more serious.
Det er meget mere seriøst, meget mere vigtigt.
Now, in saying, who can bring a charge?
I det at sige, hvem kan anklage?
Who can bring an accusation against God's elect?
Hvem kan anklage Guds udvalgte?
Well, obviously a lot of people can.
Faktisk så er der mange mennesker, der kan anklage Guds udvalgte.
Even in terms of the final judgment, a lot of people can make accusations against us.
Mennesker kan lave en masse beskyldninger imod en.
False or misguided Christians can.
Falske eller misledte kristne kan faktisk.
Misguided Christian can say another Christian's condemned when they're just misguided about it.
Misledte kristne kan fordømme en, fordi de er misledte.
Many religious people can make claims that those who are saved by faith in Christ are condemned before God.
Mange religiøse mennesker kan sige om dem, som faktisk er kristne, at de er fordømte foran Gud.
The Roman Catholics have been doing this for centuries.
Den romerske kirke har gjort det i århundreder.
Saying that if you believe you're saved by faith alone, then you're condemned.
At hvis du tror på, at du frelst via troen alene, så er du fordømt.
The Muslims and the other cults, they bring charges against the true Christians all the time.
Muslimer bringer falske beskyldninger til kristne hele tiden.
And the devil in the Bible, of course, is called the accuser of the brethren.
Og djævlen i Bibelen er selvfølgelig kaldt den, der beskylder brødrene.
One of the very things he does is make charges against God's elect.
Det han faktisk gør, det hans speciale er, at han bringer beskyldninger foran de udvalgte.
And of course, misguided but true Christians,
misledte men sande kristne,
may bring charges against themselves.
Kan bringe beskyldninger imod sig selv.
They may say, you know, because of whatever I have done now, I've gone too far.
De siger måske, hvad end det måtte være, jeg har gjort galt, så er jeg gået for langt.
And so now I'm condemned again before God.
Så nu er jeg fordømt igen af Gud.
So many charges can come against us.
Så mange beskyldninger kan komme imod os.
But the idea here is who can bring a charge that will stand.
Men det der i søgelyset her, det er hvem kan bringe en anklage der kan stå fast.
You see, with Paul's rhetorical question here.
Med Paulus retoriske spørgsmål.
The statement he is making.
Altså den her mening han går til kende.
Is that obviously no one or nothing can ever bring a charge against God's elect that would separate us from God.
At ingen eller noget ikke kan anklage Guds udvalgte, så vi separeres fra ham.
What Paul is arguing here,
det som Paulus argumenterer med her,
is that there is no charge that can bring the Christian back into a position of condemnation.
At der er ingen anklage, der kan bringe sin udvalgte, der bringer den udvalgte tilbage under fordømmelse.
Now we'll see this more in a moment, but if we look at the next part.
Vi kigger på det mere lige om lidt, men lad os fokusere på den anden del også.
Paul says it is God who justifies.
Paulus siger, at det er Gud, der retfærdiggør.
God has brought us into this position.
Gud har bragt os ind i den her position.
Of being justified before him.
At være retfærdiggjort foran ham.
God is the one who has cleared of us of all these charges.
Gud er den, der ligesom tilbageholdt alle de her anklager imod os.
Now, again, we'll look at that in a moment.
Det kigger vi også på lige om lidt.
But let us first make sure we all have a correct understanding of what it means to be justified before God.
Men lad os være sikre på, at vi har en rigtig forståelse af, hvad det betyder at være retfærdiggjort foran Gud.
Basically, there are two positions in the world.
Der er to positioner, der er to steder, du kan være i.
All people in the world are either in either one of these two positions before God.
Alle mennesker er enten i den her, i den ene eller den anden position foran Gud.
You're either condemned before God.
Enten så er du fordømt foran Gud.
Or you stand justified before him.
Så står du retfærdiggjort foran ham.
To be condemned before God.
Det at være fordømt foran Gud.
Is to be condemned as a lawbreaker.
Er at være under fordømmelse som en lovbryder.
Now then, like in the example of a human court.
Med eksemplet fra en menneskelig retssag.
It does not matter whether someone agrees with the law or not.
Så betyder det intet om du er enig eller uenig med loven.
You see, think about this.
Tænk på det her.
Someone can stand before a judge in a human court.
Nogen kan stå foran en dommer i en menneskelig retssag.
And he or she may say, I know I broke the speed limit.
Og personen siger måske, jeg ved da godt, jeg har overtrådt færdselsloven.
But I don't agree the speed limit should be that speed.
Men jeg er ikke enig med dig i, at der skal være en fartgrænse.
Someone can say to a judge in a human court.
personligt sige til en jordisk dommer.
I know I am guilty of breaking this certain law of the land.
Jeg ved, jeg er skyldig i den lov, jeg har brudt.
But I don't agree that it's wrong.
Men jeg er ikke enig med dig, at den er forkert.
You see, my point here.
Min point er her.
Is that someone does not have to agree with the law in order to be condemned by it?
Yeah, at du behøver ikke være enig med loven for at være fordømt af loven.
Yeah, someone may say to God.
Nogen siger måske til Gud.
I don't agree that this particular thing is wrong.
Jeg er ikke enig med dig, Gud, i at den her ting er forkert.
But it doesn't matter.
Det betyder ingenting om du er enig eller ej.
You know, not agreeing with it does not make a person any less guilty.
Det at ikke være enig betyder ikke at du er mindre skyldig.
Yeah, I mean, people in their arrogance, they can argue things like.
Gud, mennesker i deres uvidenhed kan argumentere ud for det her.
They can argue why they don't agree with this, that this is wrong or that is wrong that God says.
De kan argumentere for at det her ikke er forkert i forhold til hvad Gud siger.
They can argue that God's standards are too high. He's expecting too much.
De kan argumentere for at Guds standarder er for høje. Han forventer for meget.
But that does not make them any less guilty for breaking them.
Men det gør dem ikke mindre skyldige. I det, de bryder loven.
You see, if you break God's laws,
du ser, hvis du bryder Guds lov,
even just one of them,
bare en af dem,
the Bible says you're in a position before him that you're condemned as a lawbreaker.
Så står du som en lovbryder for ham.
But if, you know, it's not as if we someone just breaks one of God's laws.
Men husk på, det er ikke bare sådan at en person bare kun at en bryder en.
I mean, God's standard of sin is so high.
Guds standard for synden er så høj.
That our Lord taught even to sin in our imagination makes us guilty before
God. Ja, det er så højt, at Jesus selv sagde, at i det vi synder i vores sind, så er vi lovbryder.
You know, people think, well, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not an adulterer.
Mennesker tænker sikkert, jamen jeg er ikke så slem, jeg er da ikke en ægteskabsbryder.
But our Lord said, if you do it in your imagination, then you're guilty before God.
Men Jesus sagde, bare du gør det i dit sind, så er du skyldig for Gud.
Of committing adultery of the heart.
At du begår ægteskabsbrud i hjertet.
People say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer.
Mennesker siger måske, jeg er ikke så slem. Jeg er ikke en morder.
And they may not have literally murdered someone.
De har måske ikke bogstaveligt talt slået nogen ihjel.
But if you've ever hated someone, then you're guilty of murdering them in your heart.
Men hvis du har været vred eller hadet en, så er du faktisk skyldig i dit hjerte for mord.
You see, God's standard of sin is so high.
Guds standard for synd er så høj.
That by our own efforts, no one living is righteous before him.
At ingen levende er retfærdiggjort. Yeah. Står retfærdig over for Gud.
The Muslim, the Roman Catholic.
Muslimerne, den katolske kirke.
The Christian moralist, the Christian do-gooder.
Den kristne moralske, den der gør det gode.
Who are trying to earn their own way to heaven by being good.
Der prøver at fortjene deres egen vej til himlen ved at være gode.
And the rest of the human race who are like that.
Og resten af den menneskelige race, som er sådan.
All of them stand in a position condemned before God.
Alle står fordømte foran.
You see, people may try to argue with God.
Mennesker prøver måske at argumentere foran Gud.
I don't think I'm that bad.
De siger, jeg er ikke så slem.
Or I don't think it's wrong. What's wrong with that?
Jeg synes ikke, det er galt. Hvad er galt med det?
But as I said, one does not have to agree with God's law to be condemned by it.
Men som jeg sagde før, så behøver man ikke være enig med Gud i, at man har brudt loven.
All you have to do to be condemned by it is to break it.
Det eneste du skal gøre for at være fordømt, det er at du bryder loven.
And all of us have.
Og det har vi alle sammen.
Now then, so that's what it is to be condemned.
Så det er det at være fordømt.
But the other position before God is to be justified before him.
Men den anden position at stå over for Gud er at være retfærdiggjort.
Or righteous, which means the same thing.
Eller at være retfærdig, som er det samme.
I don't know whether in Danish you have different words, justified and righteous.
Jeg ved ikke på dansk, om vi har nogle forskellige ord. Mm. It's almost the same.
Yeah, in English we have two different words, but in the original and even in our language it means the same thing.
På engelsk har vi to forskellige måder at sige det samme på.
Now, to be justified before God.
At være retfærdiggjort over for Gud.
Again, this is a legal term.
Det er et retmæssigt udtryk.
The final judgment is what is in view here.
Så er det den endelige dom, som er i perspektiv her.
To be justified before God.
At være retfærdiggjort foran Gud.
It means that all the charges against us have been brought out.
Betyder at alle de beskyldninger, som er imod os, er bragt ud foran os.
And they've all been brought out into God's courtroom.
De er alle sammen blevet bragt ud i Guds rettersal.
The evidence has been heard.
Evidence.
Bevis.
Ja, beviserne er blevet hørt.
And God the judge has passed the verdict, not guilty, justified.
Og dommeren har sagt, ikke skyldig, retfærdiggjort.
Remember, these are legal terms, so think of the example of an earthly court.
Husk på, at det her det er et retterdomssystem. Tænk på de, hvordan det vil være en ret.
Yeah. While someone still has a charge against them,
selvom der er nogen, der stadigvæk har anklage imod dem,
they are not right with the court.
Så er de i ret forhold til retten.
Yeah. If an accusation has been brought against you for breaking one of the laws of the land,
hvis en anklage er brugt mod dig for, i det du har overtrådt en af landets lov,
yeah, then until that charge is answered, you do not stand in a right position before the court.
Og så længe den anklage ikke er blevet hørt, så står du ikke i et ret forhold til retten.
And so in order to be justified before God,
så for at blive retfærdiggjort,
that means all of the charges against us for breaking God's laws for our sin must first be answered.
For at du kunne blive retfærdiggjort, så må alle de beskyldninger, der er imod dig, blive besvaret.
If there was just one charge left against us,
hvis der bare var én beskyldning, som ikke var blevet besvaret eller dømt,
if all of them got answered except one, then we would still be condemned as lawbreakers.
Hvis alle blev svaret bare på én, på nær én, så ville vi alligevel blive dømt.
So how does someone become justified before God?
Så hvordan bliver en retfærdiggjort foran Gud?
If we are guilty of all those charges,
hvis vi er skyldige baseret på alle de beskyldninger,
then how can we be anything other than condemned?
Hvordan kan vi så være andet end fordømt?
If we are guilty of so many charges against God,
hvis vi er skyldige baseret på en masse beskyldninger,
then how can we ever make ourselves right with Him?
Hvordan kan vi så nogensinde være et ret forhold med Gud?
Then the answer is, of course, we can do nothing to make ourselves right.
Svaret er selvfølgelig, at vi kan gøre. Vi kan intet gøre for at være retfærdiggjort.
By our own efforts, we cannot answer even one charge against us.
Ved vores egen evne kan vi ikke besvare nogen af de her anklager.
Now, when you think, you know, we have sinned against an infinite God.
Når du tænker over, at vi faktisk har syndet imod en uendelig evig Gud.
So every sin is a crime of infinite magnitude. We cannot pay for even one.
Så hver eneste synd faktisk kræver en evig straf. Vi kan ikke svare på noget.
Yeah, Horatio Bonar once asked the question.
En kristen mand sagde engang,
how shall I go to God?
Hvordan skal jeg gå hen til Gud?
He said, it is in your sins that you go to God.
Det er i dine synder, at du går hen til Gud.
Until you learn that, you cannot take one right step in the Christian life.
Indtil du lærer det, så kan du ikke tage et rigtig kristen skridt i dit liv.
You cannot get rid of one sin. You cannot answer the charge of one sin by yourself.
Du kan ikke besvare én synd. Du kan ikke gøre op med én synd i dit liv overhovedet.
You see, the man who is trying to work or pay for his own charges,
den mand der prøver at betale for sine egne beskyldninger,
by doing religious rituals,
ved at gøre religiøse ritualer,
by going to church, by their baptism,
det at gå i kirke eller blive døbt,
the one who is trusting in this and that they're doing all stand condemned before God.
Dem der sætter deres lid til alle de ritualer og ting og sager, de står allerede fordømt af Gud.
We can't answer any of our charges, and they all have to be answered in order to be right.
Vi kan ikke besvare nogen af de anklager der er imod os, og de skal besvares.
And so, how can a person become right with God?
Så hvordan kan en person stå i ret forhold med Gud?
Well, this is the good news of the gospel.
Det er de gode nyheder af evangeliet.
That God sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to stand condemned in our place.
Det er at Gud sendte sin egen søn for at stå fordømt i vores sted.
You see, all of the charges that were against those who would believe this good news,
alle de anklager der var imod dem som tror på de her gode nyheder,
all the charges for our sin against God,
alle vores anklager som Gud har imod os,
they were accounted to Jesus.
De blev lagt på Jesus Kristus.
Every one of them.
Hver eneste en.
Remember, if one was left to answer for, then we would still be in a position of being condemned.
Husk på, at hvis alle ikke blev lagt på Jesus Kristus, så havde vi stadigvæk problemer med Gud.
If Christ only paid for 99% of our sin, of those charges, but left the 1%, we'd still be all going to hell and condemned.
Hvis Jesus Kristus kunne besvare 99% af alle anklagerne, der var 1% tilbage, så ville vi alligevel blive fordømt og ryge i helvede.
So every charge against us for our sin was reckoned to Christ.
Så hver anklage imod os var blevet lagt på Jesus Kristus.
And then Christ was condemned on the cross in the believer's place.
Og så blev Jesus Kristus fordømt på korset i den troendes sted.
So that's how all those charges for breaking God's laws can be answered.
Så det er hvordan de her anklager kan blive besvaret af Gud.
It is because Christ has already paid the penalty for all those charges.
Det er fordi Jesus Kristus allerede har taget straffen for alle de anklager.
You see, Paul's argument here is that no one can bring a charge against God's elect that will stand.
Paulus argument er at den argumentation han giver, hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte, står fast.
Because Christ will say, I've already paid for it.
Fordi Jesus Kristus vil sige, jeg har allerede betalt for det.
But someone says, but what about this one?
Men nogen vil måske sige, hvad med den her synd?
What about this thing I've done?
Hvad med den her ting jeg har gjort?
Christ says, I've already paid for it.
Kristus siger, at han har allerede betalt for det.
But someone else says, but what about this in my past?
Men en anden siger måske, hvad det jeg har gjort i min fortid?
Christ says, I've paid for that one too.
Kristus siger, jeg har også betalt for det.
Look at these wounds on my hand.
Se på de sår jeg har på mine hænder.
Someone says, well, look about that. What about this?
En siger måske, hvad med det her?
Surely this is so bad.
Selvfølgelig er det slemt det her.
Christ says, I've paid for that one too.
Jeg har også betalt for det, siger Jesus.
Look at this wound in my side, reach here.
Se på det sår jeg har i siden, række ud efter det.
Now then, to be justified before God.
Men hør nu efter, det at være retfærdig gjort foran Gud.
Is not merely being acquitted, not merely being found not guilty.
Er ikke kun alene bare det ikke at være fundet skyldig.
I mean, that would be glorious enough.
Det ville være herligt nok i sig selv.
If all God did was to declare us not guilty.
At hvis Gud blot erklærede os ikke skyldige.
But God does not merely declare us not guilty.
Men Gud erklærer os ikke alene bare ikke skyldige.
He declares us righteous or justified.
Men han erklærer os retfærdiggjort.
You see, in order to make us right with God.
For at gøre os i stand til at stå i ret forhold med Gud.
God did not only send his son into the world to pay for our sin.
Så sendte Gud ikke alene sin søn til verden for at betale for den.
He did that, but he did something more.
Han gjorde det, men han gjorde noget mere.
He also sent him to live in our place.
Han sendte også sin søn for at leve i vores sted.
You see, whereas the guilty record of our sin was accounted to Christ.
Hvor hvor alle anklagerne blev lagt på Jesus Kristus.
And so Christ was punished in our place.
Hvor han blev straffet i vores sted.
Well, his righteous life,
hans retfærdige liv,
the obedient life of Christ,
det lydige liv han levede,
is accounted the other way to the believer.
Er også givet os den anden vej rundt.
And so we are accounted righteous before him.
Så Gud har erklæret os retfærdige for ham.
In his place.
I hans sted.
That's what the Bible says, for he who knew no sin became sin for us.
Det siger, ham som ikke kendte det synd blev synd for os.
That we might become the righteousness of God.
So that we might be Guds retfærdighed.
Yeah, the record of our sin goes to Christ. The record of our sinful life goes to Christ.
Alle vores synder bliver lagt på Kristus.
And the record of Christ's perfect life is in the believer's account.
Og Jesu retfærdige liv bliver så lagt på synderen, eller ligger på den kristne.
He got what we deserve.
Han fik hvad vi fortjente.
So that we get what he deserved.
Så vi får hvad han fortjener.
You see, this is what it means to be justified before God.
Det betyder at være retfærdiggjort foran Gud.
It means that every single charge that was against us for our sin has been answered.
Det betyder at alle de anklager der var imod vores synder er blevet besvaret.
And also that.
Så også at.
We stand before God now with the perfect record of Jesus' life attributed to us.
Så også at hele Jesu retfærdige liv nu er blevet givet os.
The Bible speaks in those terms, clothed in Christ's righteousness.
Bibelen taler i det udtryk, at vi står klædt i Jesu retfærdighed.
Yeah. Now, when Paul argues here, it is God who justifies.
Når Paulus argumenterer her, at det er Gud, der retfærdiggør.
Again, what Paul is arguing that no one can ever bring a charge against us that will stand.
Igen det, at Gud, ingen vil anklage os, som kan anklage os, så det står fast.
Because it's God himself who has brought us into this position in the first place.
Fordi det er Gud, der har brugt os ind i den her position til at starte med.
And God does not make a mistake.
Og Gud laver ikke fejl.
You see, we go back to the example of a human court.
Hvis vi går tilbage med eksemplet fra den menneskelige domstol.
In a human court, they may clear someone of certain charges.
Måske i en domstol, en menneskelig domstol, vil man fjerne nogle anklager fra en person.
But they can always bring another one out at a later date.
Men de kan altid bringe en ud senere på dagen.
You know, they can find something else against you.
De kan finde noget andet imod dig.
But with our salvation,
men med vores frelse,
with God pronouncing the believer justified,
det at Gud erklærer den kristne for retfærdiggjort,
there can be no mistake because it's God who has done this.
Kan ingen fejl være, fordi det er Gud, der har gjort det.
You see, believer.
Ser du?
When you come to saving faith in the gospel.
Når du kommer til frelsende tro i evangeliet.
When you come to realize that me being right with God is not dependent upon how well I'm doing or upon my works.
Når du kommer til erkendelse af, at du står i ret forhold med Gud, ikke baseret på hvad du har gjort.
But you see the good news that it's dependent upon what God in Christ has done for me.
Men du ser, at det er afhængigt af, hvad Gud har gjort for dig.
That he has paid for all my sins, so I'm right with him.
At han har betalt for alle synderne, så jeg står i ret forhold med ham.
And he gives me his righteousness, so I stand before God as if I've lived like Christ now.
Så giver han sin retfærdighed til mig, som om jeg har levet det liv, som Jesus Kristus levede.
Well, you see, when you see this good news,
når du ser de her gode nyheder,
it's not as if God is going to make a mistake.
Så er det ikke som om Gud han laver en fejl.
Yeah, it's not as if God he justifies you, but perhaps he's overlooked something.
Det er ikke sådan at Gud han retfærdiggør dig, som han måske har set fejl eller noget, at han der er nogle synder han ikke.
It's not as if he's freed you of this charge, and this charge, but there's still some to be had.
Det er ikke sådan at han har frigjort dig for den her anklage, den her, men så er der noget herover han ikke har gjort op med.
No, you become right with God once and forever.
Nej, du bliver gjort retfærdig en gang for alle.
All the charges against you have to be answered, past, present, and future.
Alle synder fra nutiden, fortiden og fremtiden skal besvares nu.
Yeah, there's not something in your path. You know, it's not as if God thought, "Oh, hang on, I've made a mistake here. If I knew they would have been like this, I wouldn't have justified them in the first place."
Det er ikke sådan Gud han en dag kigger på fortiden. Oh, nej, hvis nu han ikke har gjort det, så kan jeg ikke falde ham.
Or if I missed this in the past, then I wouldn't have justified them.
Eller hvis nu jeg missede det her, ikke lige fik gjort op med det, så kan jeg ikke retfærdiggøre dem.
No, God doesn't make mistakes.
Nej, Gud laver ikke
fejl. And he invites all sinners to come and believe the gospel.
Og han inviterer alle syndere at komme og tro på evangeliet.
Now listen to this.
Hør det.
The only real thing that a believer can be charged with now in the courtroom of heaven.
Det eneste som den troende kan blive anklaget for i Guds himmelske domstol.
Is living like Jesus.
At leve som Jesus Kristus.
Don't miss what I said there.
Mis ikke hvad jeg siger nu.
I did not say that the believer can be charged with not living like Jesus.
Jeg siger ikke, at den troende ikke kan blive anklaget for ikke at leve som Jesus Kristus.
Of course, that may be true of us.
Det kan sikkert være sandt, når vi ser selv.
But we can't be charged with that.
Men vi kan ikke blive anklaget for det.
Because Christ has answered all those charges.
Fordi Kristus har anklaget os for alle.
But you see, because of the obedience of Jesus' life.
Men på grund af Jesu lydighed.
Because the obedience of him has been credited to us, the believers, those who believe this good news.
Fordi Jesu lydighed er blevet givet os, dem som tror de gode nyheder.
And on a legal basis, the only thing you can charge with now and forever before God.
Det eneste, så, som du kan blive anklaget for en gang for alle foran Gud, er.
Is living like Jesus.
At leve som Jesus Kristus.
You see, for all those in Christ.
For alle dem i Kristus.
Because of what Christ has done for you.
Fordi på grund af det, som Jesus Kristus har gjort for dig.
On our legal record before God now.
Er vores legal record.
Legale.
Record.
Hvad? Legale.
Vores legale.
Retmæssige.
Stand for Gud.
The only thing that can be charged against you is you live like Jesus.
Ja, det eneste, der kan blive anklaget mod dig, det er, at du levede som Jesus Kristus.
You may have had a mother having a bad day with the children, or a bad day wherever.
Du har måske en mor, som havde en dårlig dag med børnene.
But on your record in heaven it says you live like Jesus.
Men i himlen står der at du lever som Jesus Kristus.
You know, that's the good news of the gospel.
Det er de gode nyheder fra evangeliet.
You see, when Paul says here,
når Paulus siger her,
who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns?
Hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte? Gud gør retfærdig. Hvem vil fordømme?
What Paul is keen to prove to you here, believer.
Hvad Paulus er meget begærlig efter at vise den troende her.
Is that it's impossible for a Christian to be brought back into a position of condemnation again.
At det er umuligt at bringe den kristne tilbage i en fordømmelsestilstand.
No charge can ever be brought against us that could bring us back into a position of condemnation.
Ingen anklage kan komme imod os, der bringer os tilbage i fordømmelse.
It is God who justified us, and he does not make mistakes.
Det er Gud, der retfærdiggør, og han laver ikke fejl.
And so lastly, for anyone who's never seen this good news.
Til sidst her er det klart, at den som ikke har set de her gode nyheder.
That we become right with God, not by our own efforts.
At vi bliver gjort færdig for en gjort.
But we become right
ved vores egen gerninger.
We become right with God through what Christ has done, and only on that basis.
at vi alene bliver retfærdiggjort på grund af hvad Kristus har gjort.
For those of you who have never seen this good news,
for jer der aldrig har set de her gode nyheder,
that we stay right with God, not by our own efforts.
At hvis du ikke har set det, at vi bliver ved med at være retfærdiggjort,
but through what Christ has done for us.
Baseret på hvad Jesus Kristus har gjort.
You know, I get up in the morning, I want to live for God today, I want to resist temptation.
Forestil dig, at jeg står om morgenen, jeg vil leve for Gud, jeg vil stå imod fristelse.
But I'm not trusting in that for my acceptance before God.
Men husk på, jeg stod ikke på det som accept mellem mig og Gud.
I'm trusting that Christ lived for God for me this day.
Jeg lever den her dag i troen på, at Jesus Kristus.
I find my acceptance in that when Christ was in the desert, he perfectly resisted temptation.
Jeg finder min accept for en Gud i det, at Jesus stod imod fristelse perfekt i ørkenen.
That he was tempted in all things for me, but yet without sin.
At han var fristet i alle ting, men ikke syndet.
Yeah, for those of you who never realize this, that you keep yourself saved even, or justified, not by ourselves, but by what Christ has done.
Jeg som ikke har indset eller set her, at det faktisk ikke ved vores egen retfærdighed, vi holdes retfærdige.
Or you keep saved, I should say, not keep yourself saved, because it's him keeping us.
Det er ikke sådan, at du holder dig selv frelst, men Gud holder dig frelst.
But God invites you to believe this.
Men Gud inviterer dig at tro på det her, via troen.
You see, why would anyone continue to try and work the way to God?
Hvorfor vil nogen blive ved med at leve deres egen vej til Gud?
When it will never work.
Når det aldrig nogensinde vil fungere.
But, you know, when would all... If we trust in our works, those things only condemn us.
Hvis vi stoler på vores egen gerninger, så vil de kun fordømme os.
You know, if we want to know what, you know, anyone who tries to think, if I just improve my life this way, if I go to church each week, if I be baptized, I do all these good things.
Hvis en person tænker, at, jamen, jeg kan gøre de her gode ting, og jeg kan gøre det og det, jeg kan gå i kirke, jeg kan blive døbt.
If you want to know what your best works deserve on your best days, then look what Christ got on the cross.
Hvis du ønsker at se hvad dine bedste gerninger fortjener, så se mod korset.
You know, they don't. We can't be justified by the works of the law.
Vi kan ikke blive retfærdiggjort ved lovens gerninger.
But why would someone continue to do that even more so?
Men hvorfor vil nogen så fortsætte ved at prøve at blive retfærdiggjort den vej?
When you can simply stop relying upon self and you can have what Christ has done attributed to you.
Når du kan stoppe med at prøve at retfærdiggøre dig selv og tage imod det som Jesus har gjort for dig.
You know, this really is a full and free gospel.
Det her er en falden, kan man sige det? Falden og fri evangelium.
Yeah, you know, you see
full evangelium.
Yeah, all those who rely upon self will be condemned.
Dem som tror på sig selv og har tilliden til sig selv vil blive fordømt.
But for all those who will stop that and just rely upon Jesus Christ acting for them.
Men dem der vil stoppe med at prøve at retfærdiggøre sig selv og stole på Jesus Kristus.
Will be safe at the judgment.
Vil blive falske og stå fri for en domstol.
And it doesn't matter what someone's done, they can come and trust in Christ and be safe.
Det betyder ikke hvad du har gjort, du kan blive frelst.
You know, the gospel is not for the well.
Evangeliet er ikke for de raske.
It's for the sick, the rebellious.
For de syge, de rebelske.
Yeah. I don't have a message for the well.
Jeg har ikke et budskab til de raske.
Yeah, I don't have a message for those who think they're well enough in themselves to be saved.
Jeg har ikke et budskab til dem der tror de er raske nok til at blive frelst af sig selv.
But I have a message for good news for those who realize they are guilty sinners before God.
Jeg har en god nyhed for dem som ser sig selv som,
you know,
someone
may say, but what about repentance?
Jamen, nogen siger måske, hvad så med omvendelse?
Well, the Bible speaks of repentance in a number of ways.
Det er klart at Bibelen taler om omvendelse på forskellige måder.
In Hebrews 6 it speaks of the foundation of saving faith, repentance from dead works.
I Hebræerbrevet 6 taler brevet om omvendelse fra døde gerninger.
Stop trusting in our own works.
Stop med at stole på sine egne gerninger.
And trust in what Christ has done.
I stedet for at stole på hvad Jesus Kristus har gjort.
Martin Lloyd-Jones once described one aspect of repentance.
Martin Lloyd-Jones beskrev engang et aspekt af det at omvende sig.
He said the unrepentant person,
han sagde, den uomvendte,
when they hear a sermon about their sin,
når de hører en prædiken om deres synd,
they try and argue against it.
Så prøver de at argumentere imod det.
And they say, no, I'm not that bad. I don't like before, you know, I don't agree that's bad.
Så siger de sikkert, jamen jeg er ikke så slem, jeg er ikke enig med den anklage.
I don't agree I'm that bad, I'm a good person.
Jeg er ikke så slem.
Yeah, that's the unrepentant person.
Så er man en uomvendt person.
But when the repentant person hears a sermon preached against their sin,
når en omvendt høres en prædiken imod sin egen synder,
he says, whoa, if this preacher only knew the half of it.
Hvis den prædikant kun vidste halvdelen af det.
If he knew I was five times worse than that, he'd be saying a lot more about me.
Hvis han vidste, at jeg var fem gange værre, så ville han snakke meget mere omkring det.
You see, we must own our own sin, our own guilt.
Own
as in admit.
Take
responsibility.
Vi må erkende og tage ansvar for vores egne synder.
Yeah, go to God as guilt. Yeah, look, I am a guilty sinner. I have sinned.
Vi er synder, vi er skyldige.
You know, and go to God with not trying to think, you know, well, I'm better, I'm not that bad, so now accept me, Lord.
Vi bør ikke tænke sådan, jeg er ikke så slem mere, jamen så accepterer mig på det.
But no, the gospel is go to him just as you are in all your sin.
Men evangeliet er at gå som du er hen til ham i al din sin.
Saying, yes, I'm guilty of all those things and no doubt a lot more.
Det er sandt, at jeg er skyldig i det her og langt meget mere.
That I don't even know about yet.
Som jeg ikke engang ved noget om.
But I'm going to trust that you died for my sin.
Men jeg stoler på, at du døde for min sin.
And follow Christ there.
Og så følger jeg Kristus derfra.
You know, and one last thing, the gospel demands a response.
Og i sidste ende, husk på, evangeliet kræver et svar.
You know, an overreaction to, you know, easy believism, decisionists today.
En overreaktion til det, at den her easy believer, ligesom.
You've all seen them, I presume, where they have the altar calls and they manipulate people into making decisions and they haven't got a clue what they're making a decision about.
En modreaktion til det at gå til alder og tro på et eller andet.
Well, I believe many have gone, especially in reform circles, to the other extreme.
Jeg er bange for, at nogen er gået fra det, så over en anden ekstrem.
Well, we leave people waiting in limbo land.
Hvor vi lader folk vente i limbo land.
Jesus never tells someone to wait for a new heart.
Jesus underviser ikke på et tidspunkt, at nogen skal stå og vente på, at de får et nyt hjerte.
But he says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Men han siger faktisk, at den, der kommer til mig, vil jeg ikke på nogen måde kaste bort.
And he commands people to come.
Så kom ind her. Han
you know, as Elijah said,
kommanderer, at folk skal komme til ham.
As Elijah said on Mount Carmel, choose this day whom you will serve.
Who said that?
Elijah
sagde, at
the prophet.
Choose this day whom you will serve.
Vælg den her dag, hvem du vil tjene.
Yeah, when someone has understood the gospel.
Når en person har forstået evangeliet.
That they can turn from trusting in their own goodness and follow Christ, trusting wholly in him.
Når de forstår, at de kan forlade sig selvet og stå på Jesus Kristus alene.
And they can be saved simply by what Christ has done.
Og de kan blive frelste baseret alene på det, som Kristus har gjort.
It demands a response.
Det kræver en reaktion.
You know, because the Bible says, doesn't it, tomorrow is the day of salvation.
Bibelen siger jo, at i morgen er dagen for frelsen.
It says later is the acceptable time.
Han siger, at senere er det accepteret tidspunkt for at blive frelst.
But that's not what it says, is it?
Det er ikke, hvad det Bibelen siger.
Today is the day of salvation.
I dag er det frelsens dag.
Now is the acceptable time.
Nu er den accepterede tid her.
Someone must get saved in the present.
Man er nødt til at blive frelst i nutiden, i det nuværende.
Yeah, it's no use knowing about salvation and then not putting faith in Christ.
Det hjælper ikke at kende til en form for frelse og så ikke sætte sin lid til Jesus Kristus.
You know what we're called to, you know, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The Bible says.
Hebræerbrevet siger, at i dag forhærd ikke dit hjerte.
Yeah, I always think of that the chapter there in Genesis.
Jeg tænker på det her skrift, det her kapitel i første Mosebog.
Where if you remember Genesis 24 when Abraham he sends out his servant to bring back a bride for Isaac.
Hvis I husker her i kapitel 24, hvor en tjener bliver sendt ud for at finde en brud til Isaac.
And of course that's a wonderful picture of the evangelism then, the gospel.
Det er et fantastisk billede af evangelisten.
In God the Father sending His church, empowered by the Spirit, to bring back a bride for Christ.
At Gud via sin kraft sender kirken ud for at bringe en brud til sig.
But when the servant is with Laban and Rebecca there,
men der hvor tjeneren er sammen med Laban og Rebecca der,
he says, I want an answer. Will you come with me? Yes or no?
Så siger tjeneren, jeg vil have et svar. Vil du med mig eller ej?
And in the same way, the gospel demands a response.
Og sådan er det også i forhold til evangeliets respons.
Will you follow Christ? Yes or no?
Vil du følge Jesus Kristus, ja eller
nej? It's disobedient not to.
Det er ulydigt ikke at.
You know, Spurgeon, he would say, never tell people to go home and think about it later. And
Spurgeon plejer til at sige, at sig til folk, at de skal tænke over det, tage hjem og så tænke over, hvad der svar må det være.
Because again, once they understand it properly.
Når de først forstår det klart nok.
Because you're telling them to be disobedient for a while.
For du fortæller dem faktisk at være ulydige et stykke tid.
Yeah, I love it. Once Spurgeon said, he said, I hear someone, they say, go home, cry out to God.
Nogen siger, Charles Spurgeon har sagt, nogen siger, at bare gå hjem og så græde ud til Gud.
And Spurgeon said, works, works, works.
Spurgeon siger, gerninger, gerninger, gerninger.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Han siger i stedet, tro på Herren Jesus Kristus.
You know, someone says, what I'm trying to believe.
Hvad?
I'm trying to believe.
Nogen siger måske, jamen jeg prøver at tro.
I get this many times.
Jeg hører det mange gange.
Imagine if someone said to you.
Prøv at forestille dig, at nogen sagde til dig.
I'm really trying hard to believe you.
Jeg prøver virkelig at tro på, hvad du siger.
I mean, would you not be insulted?
Vil ikke føle jer
I mean, if someone says to you, I'm trying to believe you, then they're calling you a liar. They're saying you can't be trusted.
Personen siger til mig, jeg tror ikke på, at jeg kan stole på dig. De kalder dig faktisk en løgner.
Well, when someone says, "Yeah, I'm trying to believe Christ died for me,"
men når der er sådan nogen der siger, jamen jeg prøver at tro på at Jesus Kristus døde for mig.
What has God done to deserve this crying? Trying.
Hvad har Gud gjort i det han? Hvorfor skulle han fortjene den her prøve?
Again, it's we believe on Christ, we follow Him, and if someone will just look away from self.
Hvis bare en person vil kigge væk fra sig selv og tro på Jesus Kristus.
Yeah, and see that Christ has done everything needed. Put our trust in Him.
Og se at Jesus Kristus har gjort alt det vi har brug for.
Yeah, any problems, any just go to Him with it all.
Uanset om det er problemer eller hvad end det er, bare gå til Ham med det.
Just be honest with God.
Vær ærlig over for Gud.
Yeah, don't try and say, you know, blame this other person or blame someone else. Just, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner and I need Your help.
Prøv ikke beskylde en anden en for din skyld, men bare gå til Gud med det.
And I believe you can save me.
Og sige til Gud, jeg tror på, at du kan stole på, du kan frelse mig.
Yeah, and He promises to save all who come to Him.
Og han lover nemlig at frelse hver eneste, der kommer til ham.
Yeah, so why wait any longer?
Hvorfor så vente længere?
Would you pray?